This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, how the bicycling community in Cincinnati is celebrating Bike Month and Bike to Work Week. But first, cigarette smoking's on the decline, but hookah bars and cafes are proliferating around college campuses. Many hookah smokers think the practice is less harmful than cigarette smoking. That got University of Cincinnati Department of Chemistry graduate student Ryan Sadawi wondering if that was true or not. He conducted experiments to determine the toxicity levels of charcoal briquettes used to burn the tobacco in a hookah pipe and got some surprising results about the risks associated with hookah smoking. Here to discuss the study, PhD candidate at UC, Ryan Sadawi, and you can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ryan, good to see you this afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Explain what a hookah is and how it works.
So a hookah is a device that you would smoke hookah tobacco or ma'asil out of. And the way it works is you would put tobacco into usually a clay bowl in the top. You would cover that with perforated aluminum foil, and it would be heated using briquettes of charcoal. And in the base, there's a glass jar that holds the stem, and the water level would be above that stem. And as you inhale, it ignites the tobacco or burns the tobacco. The smoke's produced, it bubbles through the water, and then the person inhales it.
Is the tobacco a dry tobacco, or what exactly is this?
It's actually not a dry tobacco at all. It is a very gooey mix. I say imagine a dry tobacco with jam or jelly mixed in with it. So it's definitely not a dry tobacco. And up to 50% of the mixture is stuff other than tobacco. And usually it's like a glycerin, molasses, or some kind of flavoring or honey.
And traditionally, these are heated with what we call charcoal briquettes, but they're not the charcoal briquettes you would find in an outdoor grill, right?
No, they are different. They are made specifically usually for hookah smoking, and there are quite an extensive amount of different kinds on there, from round ones to quick light discs that you can just light with a lighter to some that are more natural. They all say natural on them, but a lot of the coconut ones are the more popular ones these days.
How popular is hookah smoking becoming, particularly among high school age kids and college age kids?
Well, there are a few studies out there, quite a number of studies actually, that show percentages of university students. I don't remember which university it was specifically, but there was a numbers from 10 to 25% up to 30 or 40% even of college students have tried or regularly smoke hookah. So if you say 40% of a college campus has tried or regularly smoked it, that's a pretty large number. And there aren't too many studies on high school students. I guess it might be an ethical issue if they're underage and they can't purchase the tobacco themselves. So there's not too many. But they clearly do smoke hookah. They will tell you they have.
Now, you do this at a cafe or a bar, so I guess there's that social aspect going. Is that part of the reason for it being popular?
I believe it is. I believe there's different levels of why it's so popular. One of it, of course, it has nicotine in it. It is tobacco, so it can be addictive. People say it may not be as addictive as, say, cigarettes, for example, but there is that aspect of nicotine. And also, it is a social, a lot of people will get together and sit down and smoke a hookah and, hang out for an hour or two at a time. So a lot of people are attracted to the social aspect of it as well.
Now, the tobacco that you smoke in this, do you buy this at a tobacco store? How do you get it?
So most people would purchase it at a tobacco store or online these days. It's very popular. They'll ship it right to your house.
Now, you conducted a study on hookah smoking. Tell me about the study itself. How did you conduct this, and what were you looking at?
So this latest study that we did, we conducted in a joint effort between the med school at UC and our chemistry department. And we did some cell work where we grew lung cells, and we added contaminated smoked media, and that's what we grew the lung cells in. And then we tested different things to see, how toxic is hookah smoke.
And what did you find about the toxicity?
So we didn't do a very broad study since this is the first of its kind. So we looked at things such as acute toxicity. We wanted to see if we hit the cells with a large dose of smoked media, how many cells would survive that. And what we found was we used three different heat methods. We used what we call a cleaner charcoal. So it was a charcoal that was contaminated with less toxic elements. We used a more contaminated charcoal. So one of the brands had a higher contamination of heavy elements that would be toxic to cells. And then we used an electronic heat source.
What kind of heavy elements are you talking about, Ryan?
So we're talking about elements such as arsenic, cadmium, lead, vanadium, and there's a huge list of them.
Yeah. Does this differ from other forms of tobacco smoking?
In what sense?
In terms of the toxicity, what the elements that are in it?
So what makes hookah smoking, and especially to study it, unique is that cigarettes, for example, you pretty much worry only about the tobacco. But with the hookah, you have the tobacco you have to worry about, and now you have a charcoal heat source where contamination could be present as well. So to answer the question, you have to not only look at the tobacco, but you also have to look at the charcoal, because the smoke is a mixture of both the smoldering tobacco and the charcoal. So that's why we analyzed both the tobacco, charcoal, and now the smoke.
Yeah, so you got both those elements in play when you're smoking a hookah pipe.
Yes, you do.
Now, what did you find out in your study?
So we found out that after growing the lung cells and looking at the results, we found that the electronic heat source ended up killing more cells than the both contaminated and lower contaminated and highly contaminated charcoals.
Really? Well, what percentage of cells were being killed by this?
So roughly 10 to 20% were being killed by the charcoal.
Okay.
And 70 to 90% were being killed by the electronic heat source.
And this electronic heating source is called E-coil, right? This is where they take a ceramic disc and they heat this up to heat the water and the tobacco.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the slang term, like an e-cigarette versus, you know, electronic cigarette. So they just call it E-coil or electronic heat source.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that the E-coil was actually more damaging. The electronic version was actually more damaging to the lung tissue.
I was initially surprised by that as well, actually. So my assumption would have been, you know, using logic, that the highly contaminated charcoal should have killed more cells. However, what I found out after doing the study, I did a temperature profile, and my assumption why that more cells died with the electronic heat source is because of the higher temperature that the tobacco burns at versus that of charcoal. So when you put the electronic heat source on top of the bowl with the tobacco, the temperature stays at a constant high. So the temperature stays pretty high throughout the whole smoking session. Versus the charcoal, when you place the charcoal on top of the bowl, the charcoal starts to ash, so you get it forms a layer of ash around the charcoal, and then that lowers the temperature of the charcoal itself.
So go back to that thought. How surprised were you by these findings?
Honestly, they say you shouldn't be so surprised in science, but I was surprised. I really thought, you know, it was going to go in the way that the toxic charcoal or the higher toxic charcoal would have killed more cells.
Yeah, because it seems counterintuitive that the cleaner heat source is the one that produces the most damage. Why does heat have that effect? I mean, why is the heat so damaging? What's causing?
Well, that's a really good question. So I'm sure everybody has seen somebody smoke a cigarette, for example, and that high of a temperature, the cigarette ash is a very fine powdery ash. So we consider that kind of a total consumption, where it burns the tobacco to nothingness pretty much. Where hookah smoking, if you've removed the aluminum foil from the smoke after a smoking session, you remove the aluminum foil, what you would notice in there is burnt or charred tobacco, but it looks almost the same as when you put it in there. You can tell that this is burnt tobacco. So it doesn't burn at nearly as high of a temperature as, say, cigarettes, for example. And this plays I believe this plays a crucial role in what is being released from the tobacco itself that may be toxic to the cells.
Is that something you would look at in future studies, is the relationship between the heat and the toxicity?
Yes, I would love to look at that. I think that would play a crucial role in, you know, how toxic is hookah smoking may depend on how hot the tobacco burns.
What about secondhand smoke? What is the risks from secondhand smoke different with a hookah? Do we know that?
That's actually a very good question. There has been so we did a study on the charcoal itself a couple years ago, and what we found was we analyzed the neat charcoal and the burnt charcoal, and or the ash. So we burn the charcoal completely, collect the ash, and analyze that. And what we found was that in most of the charcoal, two of the elements that are toxic to people, cadmium and lead, were missing from the ash. So the majority of the elements remained in the ash. However, exceptional was that of cadmium and lead, and up to 50% in some cases were missing. So if you have a sample with high amounts of lead and it's no longer found in the ash, the question then becomes, well, where is it? Is it gone as secondhand smoke, or is it being consumed by the smoker as, you know, the primary smoke? So is the person inhaling it, or is it being burnt off the top of the charcoal and being released into the atmosphere as secondhand smoke? And lead and cadmium are both known to be toxic to humans. So it's important to, I think, study further, you know, what is the effects of secondhand smoke on people.
But you're saying there's not a definite answer from what you studied.
From what I studied, there is no definite answer, and I don't believe that it has been studied in detail what the toxic elements being released from the charcoal as secondhand smoke would cause to the people in the room.
Now, does the hookah itself play a part in this, how it's designed, what it's made from?
So that could play a part in contamination. So there are fancy ones that are made out of all glass, for example, that may be a lower concern for toxic elements. So a lot of times what they do is they'll weld the seams with lead. So if you buy a cheaper one, it would be lead-based around it. And you can imagine you're putting essentially a piece of lead coming in contact with the water that the smoke is bubbling through that you're breathing in. So I'm not sure what the long-term effects would be, but it's something to consider.
Why do people think these are a safer way to smoke tobacco?
I think that is a misconception that a lot of people have. I get that question often. You know, I'll have people say something like, well, it has to be less toxic than cigarettes, for example, because it bubbles through the water and the water is going to extract all the toxins. But that's not necessarily the case. You know, you have to define what is a toxin. What is it that would be absorbed, for example, in the water? Maybe nicotine. Nicotine is known to be water soluble. But what about toxic elements? You know, there's a lot of questions to be asked there. And it's not as simple as the water takes care of all the toxic stuff, therefore it's safer to smoke than, say, cigarettes or e-cigarettes, for example.
Do people end up smoking more with a hookah, smoking for longer periods, because the water cools it a bit and it's not quite as harsh?
Yes, that I believe. So the whole reason I started this study was somebody told me you can 1 hour of hookah smoking is equivalent to 100 cigarettes. And I laughed because anybody that smokes cigarettes would tell you, you cannot smoke 100 cigarettes in 1 hour. I mean, if you smoke, you know, more than one or two packs, your throat would be burning. So there's no way you could smoke that many cigarettes in a short amount of time because it's harsh on your throat. However, the hookah smoking, you can play around with that harshness easily by changing the amount of water in the jar, by changing how many charcoals you have on top. So you can make it smoother to smoke, and most people would smoke it smoother. There are different forms of the hookah itself. There is a kind that you actually don't put aluminum foil. You place the charcoal directly on the tobacco itself, and that one is extremely harsh, yet people still smoke it. So I do believe hookahs are smoked a lot longer because it is smoother. Also, the flavor plays a big part. I brought a brand with me here that smells like banana bread almost. You know, I'm sure a lot more people out there would rather smoke, say, you know, grape or banana or roses or bubble gum versus cigarette tobacco as far as flavor-wise goes.
Well, we will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining me this afternoon to talk about the risks associated with hookah smoking and his study of those risks, our PhD candidate at UC, Ryan Sadawi. And you can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So you were talking before we went to the break about the tobacco itself. Can I take a smell of that?
Absolutely.
And I don't smoke. I'm not a big fan of tobacco, so let's see here. Oh, you're right. Smells like a almost a cinnamon. cinnamon kind of smell.
Yeah, I think it smells like cinnamon banana bread.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's part of the appeal of smoking tobacco from a hookah pipe.
It definitely is part of the appeal. I'm sure people are more attracted to these nice scents versus, you know, harsher tobacco like cigarette tobacco, for example.
And if I understand your study right, Ryan, what you found is that you have these toxic chemicals coming from the charcoal briquettes, from the tobacco itself, and the heat intensifies it. Is that a good way to summarize what you found?
Yes, but this has not been studied yet in detail. So to actually answer that with 100% confidence, more research would need to be done on that.
Now, do we know, has there been any research, if the damage that you're talking about that occurs to the lungs, if you stop smoking a hookah pipe, does the damage reverse itself?
One of the main issues with smoking tobacco is that it causes issues with the lungs. And I'm sure, you know, anybody that knows somebody that smokes knows about the morning cougher, or, you know, they get up in the morning and they cough. And that's one of the effects that smoking tobacco has on the person. And that would also happen with hookah smoking, because tobacco is tobacco. You know, you're still burning the tobacco. You're still breathing in the nicotine and some other constituents that are known to be in tobacco. So it does not, because it's bubbling through the water or whatever the reasoning is, smoking is smoking. So I believe if you do quit smoking the hookah, just like if you quit smoking cigarettes, you would live a longer, happier life.
Yeah, and I guess if somebody makes the argument that this is safer than other forms of smoking, you would just come back and say, well, smoking is smoking. You know, maybe the risks are a little different here and there, but pretty much smoking is going to have adverse risks on your health in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so that's why I'm excited to do this kind of research, because it hasn't been done really. So we cannot – in science, you can't just assume. You have to prove or disprove. So even though it is tobacco, and we make assumptions that smoking a hookah has to be as bad as smoking cigarettes, until you prove or disprove that, you know, it's just a theory.
How much oversight from the Food and Drug Administration is there of hookah smoking?
So I'm not an expert on the FDA's policy, but I do believe I read that they now have jurisdiction to analyze or look over the hookah as part of the tobacco. So they are going to, I believe, do studies and regulate the hookah tobacco smoking as well as cigarette and maybe other forms of smoking as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe you're correct that the FDA, I think it was 2015.
Yes.
The FDA began to look at hookah smoking and to have some oversight on it. Now, where's your study head from here? What are some questions that you would like to answer that you didn't get answered in this first part of the study?
Actually, that's a very long list answers that I would love to do a more extensive study on different temperatures. For example, what happens if we crank up the heat to, say, 500 Celsius versus 300 versus 100? And this could give you an idea. This could help, for example, in designing maybe – I don't want to call it a safer smoking, but maybe have less health risk. Or I would like to do – there's a number of experiments. I would like to do an experiment with, is there a way to put something in the water to absorb some of these toxins, for example? I would like to do further studies with maybe animals, for example, mice, to actually see long-term studies. So there are a number of studies out there. However, before you can get to those, there needs to be a baseline to work from, and that's why – I consider this to be, you know, the pioneering work that needs to be done before you can jump to the heavy, you know, doing mice studies or further cell studies.
You talk about looking for ways that this might be a safer way to smoke or reducing the risk of hookah smoking, but you're not advocating.
No, I definitely
take up smoking.
No, you should not smoke. I am not advocating smoking. However, just like it's been shown that cigarette smoking is dangerous to human health, people will still smoke. So if there's a way that, you know, you can reduce the harm, hopefully to better, you know, their lives, that would be something worth looking at. However, I do not, you know, no smoking is good. Nobody should be smoking. But again, people will smoke.
Right. Now, Are you definitely going to continue this study? Are you definitely going to keep expanding on this?
Actually, I'm about to graduate. So okay. this was my last hookah experiment as far as, you know, as a graduate student. I don't know where the future may take me. I may get a job at a tobacco company or even at FDA, for example, working on looking, you know, further into tobacco studies and hookah studies. Or I can, you know, maybe go to industry or teach in academia. I'm not sure yet where I plan to go.
But you've got some fellow researchers at UC that are going to keep looking at this.
Yes, I believe that this project is not over. It's a hot topic. People are interested. This is a project that people actually can go buy and smoke at home. So I do not think that this project is just going to end with me. I believe it will continue. And there are a lot more questions to be answered.
How long have you been studying hookahs? When did you actually start on this?
I actually started this in 2010. So we published a couple papers. I published two papers so far on a paper on the tobacco itself and an in-depth study on the charcoal itself. So, and a colleague of mine in our lab, there was a couple students working on different hookah-related projects. So she also studied a different form of the tobacco. There's something called a steam stone. So instead of the tobacco itself, they actually use little pebbles or rocks. And they cover that with this gooey mix, and then you would smoke the rocks essentially instead of the tobacco. So she analyzed that. So there's a number of different things. There's a herbal, instead of using tobacco, they use stuff like tea leaves. So there's so many experiments that need to be done that there's just not time for, you know, one or two graduate students to do.
Ryan, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
PhD candidate at UC, Ryan Sadawi.